We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning?
Just fine. Yes, just fine.
I'm so glad you're here. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, sometimes three, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, we just give you praise and glory, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, and we want you to be our sufficiency, Lord, because we can do nothing in our own selves. But, Lord, everything that we do, we want to do through you, Lord, because you give us the strength and you give us the anointing and you help us. Father, we turn this time to you, Lord. We ask you that you would quicken our minds and our hearts. Help us to speak those things, Lord God, that you would have spoken. Lord, you know the needs out there. You know what people need to receive this morning. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, that your anointing would be upon this time, Lord, and that you would bless your word to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, The Better Covenant.
Yes. So, first of all, I want to say that God loves you. He has enough love to go around for everybody. He doesn't love one person more than he loves another. He doesn't play favorites. He loves us all alike. And he makes himself available to us all alike, you know. But he also requires us to seek him. And the amount that we seek him is usually determines the amount that we receive. Because if you sit at his feet more, you're going to receive more. And so it depends how much of God do you want. He's there to give all that you want to you. And he doesn't give more to one person than the other because he makes himself available. I know that he has different giftings for people, but he makes himself available to all of us. And so, but we determine how much we receive because it's not only in the amount that we seek him, but how much do we really believe his promises? You know, that determines too. All of these things are part of that. And so, I just pray, Lord, that you would open our ears and open our eyes and open our hearts to understand your word today and help us to receive your word into good soil and let it bring forth fruit, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, God loves you. He knows your name. That's why it's just amazing that God knows my name. He cares about me. Out of all the billions of people on the earth, He cares about me. And He cares about you too, just the same way. And He has the same kind of love for every person on the face of the globe. You know, His hand is not shortened. That's what makes Him God. He's not just a little God. You know, we as humans, we're limited in our abilities sometimes to meet, you know, needs and stuff. But God is so big and so vast and so awesome that His supply never runs dry. Never runs dry. Never runs short. He has enough to go around to everybody. And He still has plenty left over. You're not going to ever bankrupt God. Ever. Ever. And so He loves us with an everlasting love. We do not know what an everlasting love is. We cannot even understand what an everlasting love is. Because our love is limited. Our love sometimes has boundaries. But His is limitless. And we don't understand what it means to be limitless. You know, so He's an awesome God this morning. So, anyway, He knows our name and He knows the number of hairs on our head. That is found in Matthew 10:30. He knows every little detail of your life. And if He knows the number of hairs on your head, you know, I mean, it would be impossible to count the numbers of hair on your head. Yeah. But God does. He knows it, you know. And so, He knows everything about us. Better, He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, and Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened. Or I put in parentheses, this is my comment. They are the word says naked and open, and I said, that means it's exposed and made known. Exposed and made known. Unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And that's talking about God Himself and Jesus. Everything about us, He knows even better than we know it. There's things that we don't even understand about ourselves, but He does. Because He made us. He created us. And He knows the thoughts in our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows our attitudes. He knows stuff that we don't even know about ourselves. You know, we have things sometimes in us that we don't realize. And He'll bring them to our attention sometime. If something needs to be corrected, He does it in love. He'll say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I've noticed something, and I don't think you're aware of it, but I want to bring it to your attention because I want you to surrender that to me because I think I can help you with it, and you'll be a better person. He always wants to make us better. If He ever takes anything from us, it's because He wants to make us better. He's not depriving us of anything that we need. He wants to take the junk out of our life. We have an unfair exchange with God because He gets the bad end of the deal. We get the good end of the deal. But He gets the bad. He gets all of our junk and we get all of His good. Woo!
Amen.
I kind of like those odds because I need him. I require him as my most vital necessity because I can't do it in my own strength. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but his righteousness is love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Everlasting joy. We don't even understand that kind of joy. And it wells up within us. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And sometimes we think we're walking all alone. But he never leaves our side. Never leaves us or never forsakes us. And even though we may be walking in a place where we can't see him for a little while, he's always there, and he's watching out for us. His eyes are always on us. He never loses sight of us. Wow. We've got a great, miraculous God. And he makes himself available to us on a constant basis. He said, my door is always open to you. Your time is always here. Your time is always here. Just walk on in. Walk on in. You can approach me anytime. Anytime I can be found of you. And so he's a great God. And so Psalms 94, 8 and 9 says, understand ye people, when will you be wise? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Yes, he sees everything about us. And he doesn't, you know, it's not so that he can reprimand us and make us feel bad and condemn us. You know, he sees the good things in us that we don't see. Because he sees the finished product in us, even when we're back here barely starting out in some areas. But he's not here. He's here to subtract those things that would destroy us, those things that would cause us to be less effective, that would cause us to have doors closed in our faces. You know, he wants to give us his best, and he wants the best for us. And he says, so I may have to work on you a little bit because you've got this short, you're falling short in this area over here, and I want to bring you up higher. I want to bring you up higher. So I want to add to you. And not only does he add, most of the time he multiplies.
Come on.
He multiplies his goodness to us. He gives us more than we deserve. If we got what we deserved, we'd be sunk.
Come on.
But he gives us more than we deserve. He's a good God. And he's for us. He's our best cheerleader. You know, he says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Come on, come on. The finish line is just up ahead. You can make it. You can make it. Don't stop. Yay! You know, I'm going to push you across the finish line, he says. I'm going to draw you to myself and push you across the finish line. Look to me. I'll be the supplier. I'll supply everything you need. And so, anyway, so he is for us and not against us. And he knows what we need. And he sees everything about us. And he can be God in our life perfectly. You know, we don't have to tell him how to be God. He knows how to be himself. To a T, he knows how to be himself. He's the perfect God. There's not any God beside him. He's the only God. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our foundation. He's everything to us. Okay. In Hebrews 4:14 through 16, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest. Let us hold fast our profession or our faith in him. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, I want to remind you, Jesus came down to this earth. He became a little baby, and he grew up just like we grow up. We're born babies, and we grow up too. And it says, this scripture says, he suffered in all points like as we are. He was tempted in all points. He went through that whole lifespan so he could know and be acquainted with our infirmities and what we go through and experience, so he could help us. He did that for us. And then at the end of that time, he let wicked men take him and beat him beyond recognition. And, I mean, they didn't just whip him 39 stripes and that was all. But every time they hit him, he had 9 lashes. 9 times 39 is how many lashes he received for our healing. What love would you allow your son? You think of that. That was God's. God bankrupted heaven. He gave the most prized possession in heaven to redeem us. Oh, what a price. He allowed his son to be beaten like that. And then they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And for 3 hours, he struggled to breathe. And every time he struggled to breathe, he would have to brace his, he would have to push with his feet to raise himself up to get a breath. And then to let it out, he would have to let his body sag and put all of his weight on his hands. Can you imagine going through that for 3 hours just to get a breath? He hung on that cross alive for 3 hours before he gave up the ghost. He suffered that long. We couldn't even endure it. We would have fainted a long time ago, you know. But he did that for us. And then he said, "Father, into your hands." And then, actually, this part came first. You have to remember, Jesus had never been forsaken from, he had never been separated from the Father. But he became sin for us when he hung on that cross. And the Bible says that God cannot look on sin without pouring out his wrath. So when Jesus became sin, the very thing that God hates the most, God had to turn his back on him to keep from pouring out his wrath on that sin. If he'd have done that, you know, we wouldn't have had a sacrifice for us. So he turned his back on Jesus, and for the first time, Jesus knew what it meant what it felt like to be forsaken of his father. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he said, into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. And he chose to give up the ghost. He gave up. Yeah, he said, I give my spirit to you. And he bowed his head and he died. But he didn't stay in the grave. The third day, he went down to hell and fought with the devil during those 3 days. He took the keys away from him. And then the power of God raised him out of the grave to prove that he was who he said he was and to give us victory over the devil, because Jesus won the victory for us. We are made overcomers. We're made more. He was an overcomer. We're made more than overcomers through him who loved us. Because we can partake of his grace and of his mercy and of his strength and of his power. And we can make it through. We can't do it on our own strength. But we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we make it through. And this thing of a better covenant. I see all of this stuff that I've been saying is free. I mean, I didn't intend to say none of that. But I had told the Lord, Lord, you have your way. And you give me what you want me to say today. And somebody needed to hear that. And to realize just what Jesus, the price Jesus paid for us. How he loves us with an everlasting love that reaches far more past what we could ever imagine. But seeing that we have such a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of our faith in him. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, and then verse 12, we want to go into it too. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. And so, you know, he wants us to seek him and call upon him while he is near. He says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what I wanted to say, because it says, let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. God has better thoughts he wants to give to you. He has better ways to give. That he wants to give to you. When we come to him, he makes us into a new creature. And he gives us his thoughts. And he gives us his ways. And he changes us. And then verse 12 says, for ye shall, here's the benefit right here. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. You know, that's what the world's looking for now. They're looking for peace. They're looking for real joy, not just temporary happiness that vanishes with the situations and the trials of life. But his peace endures through the hard times. His joy is our strength in our weakness. It becomes our strength, his joy. And so, We can partake of his sufficiency when ours grows weak. John 14, 1 through 4, and verse 6. And then I'm going to skip into another verse. I'm going to say this one phrase. Let not your heart be troubled. And then I'm going to skip down into that same chapter, John 14. Skip down from verse 1 into verse 27. He says, and this is the kind of peace he gives. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, go back up to verse 1, John 14, 1. Ye believe in me, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I want you to see, it's not a place like in anything in this world. We think we have beautiful mansions down here sometimes. Or the rich people do, you know. The people that live in Hollywood, you know, and stuff like that. Sometimes they have fabulous places to live, you know. But they don't compare with the place Jesus is building for us in heaven. And so I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's what's going to make heaven heaven. Not only do we get to be with Jesus forever, and ever and not ever have to be out of his presence. You know, we're not out of his presence now, but sometimes the trials of life kind of veil him from us, and we don't sense his presence like we would like to all the time. But when we get to heaven, none of that's going to exist anymore. And there's going to be somebody that's not going to be there. Devil ain't going to be there no more. And that's going to be, you know, the thing about it is Jesus is going to be there. We're going to be there, and we're not ever going to have to leave. And the other good part about it is the devil ain't going to be there ever again. We don't have to put up with him no more. Woo! That'll make heaven heaven. I mean, even if we didn't receive a mansion. I told somebody one time, we're not going to be homeless when we get to heaven. But we think about the homeless now and how they sleep on the streets sometimes. And we feel sorry for them, and we should. But if we had to sleep on the street in heaven, if we didn't have a mansion, we're going to be sleeping on gold.
Come on.
Wow. Try that on for size.
Come on.
Woo, we're rich beyond measure. I mean, and it doesn't have always to do with material things either. We're rich in the hidden riches that our minds cannot even comprehend. The riches of knowing God and in his fullness and going deeper in him and higher in him. And having him take us places in the Spirit of God. Oh, my goodness. Those are the true riches that cannot be explained. The true riches that pass not away. That is reserved in heaven for us to enjoy forever and ever. We're going to rule and reign with him. And actually, we rule and reign with him now. Because he makes us conquerors and causes us to rule over the trials and the tests and all of the junk. He makes us victorious over all of that. We're ruling and reigning over those things in this life. So, but when we get to heaven, we'll get to really rule and reign over him, you know, over things. And so we've got a lot to look forward to. So keep your eye on the prize and don't give up.
Amen. Would now be a good time for prayer requests, Miss Mary?
Okay.